This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Well, the NBA is on the brink of a tremendous windfall, at least if one is to believe the latest reporting about its media rights negotiations. We'll talk about that and more on the new Sports Media Watch podcast. This is John Lewis, joined as always by Drew Lerner. Please subscribe to the SMW podcast feed on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and more. Well, I mentioned it at the top. We'll hit this, obviously, for most of the podcast today. The reporting Monday in the Wall Street Journal, that's Joe Flint and company, that the NBA has been offered $2.6 billion a year by Disney and $2.5 billion a year by Comcast for its top two media rights packages. Obviously, a significant amount of money. The NBA right now, between ESPN and Turner, makes $2.75 billion a year in deals that began in 2014, and that was a significant amount of money. This, if the reporting is to be believed, and there's no reason to not believe it, would be $5 billion a year, and that's only for the first two, the two primary packages. The NBA is also believed to be on the doorstep of a deal with Amazon for a third package, and you have to imagine, I don't think Amazon's paying, you know, $500 million if the other two are paying $2.5 billion. So Amazon is probably over the billion mark as well. I have to think that Amazon is going to end up paying more for the NBA than it is for the NFL. ESPN is going to be paying about the same for the NBA as the NFL. NBC, if Comcast gets in, will be paying more for the NBA than for the NFL. This is hilarious. Now, look, I'm not saying the NBA is not worth the money, but we've had five straight years of people talking about how the NBA is the most unpopular thing in the world, how it is the Bud Light of sports and all this stuff. And not only is the NBA getting the money that it deserves, it's getting way more than that, because we all know the NBA is not on the level of the NFL. And there are going to be companies, if this reporting is accurate, there's going to be multiple companies paying more for NBA rights than for the NFL. Wow. This is one of those that just completely flies in the face of all expectation. You know, I wrote an article yesterday kind of outlining where we are in negotiations, and I set the B package at $1.6 billion. In the original draft of my article, I said $1.75, but I thought that sounded a little bit too high. And it's, I said, well, okay, 1.6. And it's a billion more than that. It's very odd. Let's put it that way. Certainly, the NBA has tremendous value. But I think a lot of people were surprised to see those numbers come out yesterday. And Drew, I'll bring you in.
Yeah, I mean, this just, score one for the conventional wisdom. That is, you know, if you are selling rights, if you're bringing rights to market, and you have one more bidder than you have buyers, you know, those rights are going to go for a fair bit more than you would probably expect. Combine that now with, of course, Warner Brothers Discovery, TNT, in a bit of an existential crisis now when it comes to their ability to survive without the NBA. And NBC is really driving them into a corner. They will be forced to match this $2.5 billion offer that Comcast is putting on the table. Who knows what else is in that deal that could prevent WBD from even matching it. To me, this shows how badly Comcast wants to get into the NBA, because prior to this reporting coming out on Monday, you know, I wasn't really sure their appetite to get into the NBA, right? They already have so many premier A-tier sports rights. Do they really need to overpay for an NBA package? You know, that was a huge question. So to see this number being floated, now it doesn't seem also unrealistic that the NBA could reach that $75 billion mark that they were floating on CNBC a few years ago.
Yeah, that ridiculous, outlandish number is very much in reach now. I will say that can WBD even match Comcast? Because John Aranda in his newsletter made the point that it's not really sure that the matching rights would apply only to the financial total, because WBD cannot match having two games a week on a broadcast network unless it brings in a second bidder or a joint bid with a CBS or something. So, like, I would suspect that WBD's contract, if the matching rights are as significant as people have said, would also cover, hey, we can't match a broadcast network, but so that can't be, part of it. But I mean, if it doesn't, then, Comcast is already kind of in the door. When I saw the $2.5 billion figure, at first I thought, wow, Comcast is really trying to crowd out WBD. But the $2.6 billion for ESPN tells me this is just the price of doing business with the NBA. From that perspective, then I would think WBD can stay in. Because if ESPN bid $2.6 billion, it's not like these negotiations are happening in secret. WBD would know, okay, well, we're going to have to pay 2.6 in that range to maintain our rights. So I don't think they got caught by surprise. This isn't like Fox with the NFL and CBS. And, the CBS folks are sitting in a room somewhere, and when they get news of the Fox offer, it's like, oh my goodness. This is probably not like that. I do think that, it's going to be very interesting to see if Zaslav is willing to match. Because he comes in a lot like Roger Goodell. Remember when Roger Goodell came into the NFL on his white horse and was like, okay, Tank Johnson, your time is up, right? And it all went badly for him after that on the player discipline front. Zaslav comes in and he's, hey, we don't have to have the NBA. We're going to tighten our belt and all this stuff. Well, now you have a decision to make, because it's $2.5 billion or TNT, dies.
Yeah, and let's kind of go over what TNT would be without the NBA, right? They have, March Madness. Every other year they get the final there. They have some NHL, playoffs. They have baseball, MLB. They have a little bit of playoff inventory there as well. AEW, some non-competitive United States international soccer games, like, it's really slim pickings on the TNT sports front without the NBA. And, we haven't even started talking about what this could mean for the joint venture between Disney and Fox, if they would even want to include Warner Brothers Discovery in that without their NBA package. So, I mean, this really is truly existential for TNT's survival to maintain NBA rights. Now, John, I don't think I've seen this mentioned yet. We've talked a lot about TNT's matching rights in this deal, that they can, match an offer from a third party. Let's play a little bit of a hypothetical game here where they can't, for whatever reason, match whatever NBC is offering. Would they be able to go back and say, hey, maybe we want to take the Amazon deal, that C package? They have the streamer, they have Max, where they could put a lot of this inventory, and maybe that is just more in their price range. Maybe they could outbid Amazon for the so-called C package. Is that in the realm of possibility here?
I doubt it, because why would you have matching rights for a package that you don't own, right? This third Amazon package is entirely new. It consists, obviously, of existing inventory, but equally from ESPN and WBD, I would imagine. So how is WBD going to match, the rights are, half of those rights are ESPN's to begin with. And, if you're the NBA, Ernie, Kenny, Charles, and Shaq, and, Tim Kiley, and David Levy, and all of these other folks over the years who have made the NBA on TNT so special, they can go somewhere else. Ernie's not going to. I don't think Ernie's going to leave. I don't see that happening. But the people who made the NBA on TNT what it is, are, you know, theoretically free agents, right? They can go other places. If you have a choice between your partners being Disney, Comcast, and Amazon, or your partners being Disney, Amazon, and a Warner Brothers Discovery that we have no idea if it's going to exist, we have no idea what Zaslav is going to do, it has no real, you know, future in this business. WBD, Paramount, they're going to die out. If you can be in business with Disney, Comcast, and Amazon, all of whom will survive whatever horrible things happen in the next 20 to 30 years, they'll still be there. They'll still be there in 100 years. I want to be with them because I don't think WBD realistically, well, first of all, this is like the third or fourth different version of that company. AOL Time Warner, then, you know, just Time Warner, then Warner Media, now WBD. And who knows what happens next, right? To me, I want Comcast, not WBD. And the warm and fuzzies that you feel from the NBA on TNT are real. TNT is the best partner the NBA ever had, including NBC. Now, the peak of the NBA on TV was the NBA on NBC. But the best partner the NBA's ever had was WBD. Well, it was Turner, right? And you can see the impact, right? There's CNN people all over All-Star Weekend every year. You know, Wolf Blitzer, John King, Poppy Harlow, who just left. They're all over All-Star Weekend, right? And yeah, that's great. But you can build that kind of relationship. Well, maybe you can't, because I mean, WBD is the closest thing to like a mom and pop there is in the media industry. Because it was Ted Turner's baby. I nearly said Tim Turner, Timmy Turner, average kid that no one understands. But anyway, it's Ted Turner's baby, right? And because of that, it's much more like a mom and pop than a Comcast, very cold, distant corporation. But as far as the on-air people, I mean, Kevin Harlan and Ian Eagle, I would think go to Amazon. Because they can't go to NBC. They work for CBS, but they can go to an Amazon. Ernie is going to be interesting. He's nearly 70 years old. He's a lifer at Turner. He'll still stay at Turner because they have a lot of other things. I think if you look at what Amazon did with Thursday Night Football, they're very smart. They know we're not going to create something out of nowhere. People don't want to experiment with us. They want to look at a product that appears to be proven. So we're going to bring in the Sunday Night Football people. We're going to bring in Al. We're going to bring in Fred Godelli. We're going to have them create a broadcast that looks and feels like Sunday Night Football with slightly different personnel. That's what we're going to do. I think they're smart. They're going to make a broadcast that looks like the NBA on TNT and feels like it. It'll have Kevin, Ian, depending on, you know, who knows, maybe not, but that's my expectation. You know, they'll bring in, you know, Reggie Miller maybe. And I think they'll make a very strong push for Ernie, Kenny, Charles, and Shaq. You have to get all four. Charles is not going to work with anyone other than Ernie, and I don't think Kenny and Shaq will either. So you have to get all four of them. Do you do a studio in Atlanta? Probably not, and I think that's where things get iffy because Ernie is nearly 70 years old. His whole life is in Atlanta, all the way back to before Turner when he worked for WSB. His dad played for the Braves. He's an Atlanta guy. I don't think he's going to want to be going. It's one thing, the tournament for a month, but every single week in New York or something. I don't know. That will be, it'll be interesting to see what Amazon views as a value. But there's no studio team anywhere in the history of sports more valuable than, you know, that TNT group. So I think Amazon will go for them. And so all of which is to say, the primary advantage that Turner has is its people. But you can get those people to work for you. You know what the NFL on Fox is? It's the NFL on CBS. Terry Bradshaw was on CBS. Madden and Summerall were on CBS. When Fox got the rights, they didn't go away. They didn't disappear. Well, that was the last we heard of Summerall and Madden. They just moved to Fox. And so I think that, to me, with Amazon in particular, is what I would expect. And if Turner doesn't have exclusivity with the people, well, all they have is Zaslav. who is kind of a wild card. And they have a company that keeps changing hands with no real actual future going forward.
And, you know, we saw with Barclays contract negotiations a year or two ago now, this was part of the deal. If TNT did not continue with the NBA, you know, he's out. Like, he has an out of his contract. I mean, his current contract, I believe, is like a 10-year deal with TNT. But of course, you know, with no NBA rights, he's free to go wherever he wants. That, I think, could be the single biggest media free agent deal of all time. If one of these networks or Amazon is able to attract the entire TNT studio team, I'm not sure it's as likely that they stay together as you think, though, John. You know, I could see a network really throwing a lot of money at Charles Barkley, but just Charles Barkley. If you're ESPN, why not try to slot him in with Stephen A. and Michael Wilbon?
I mean, look, honestly, I believe that the main reason why Charles keeps doing this, even though he keeps saying he's going to retire, is because he loves the people he works with. Charles chose TNT. NBC wanted him. Dick Ebersol wanted him. NBC was the big dog, right? With the big games and the finals. NBC wanted him. And Charles said, they look like they're having more fun at TNT. I'm going to go there. And I don't think Charles is going to be, man, if Charles Barkley ends up sitting on some Bristol or Los Angeles set while Stephen A. is ranting, waiting for his designated time to speak because nobody at ESPN knows how to, you know, do a studio program properly. It's no, I mean, they take significant and legitimate pride at Turner in doing it their way, right? The Tim Kiley way. They take pride in doing it that way. And I think Charles likes that environment.
I agree. I'm not saying this would be good, right? Let's get that straightened out. I'm not saying this would be a good product, but, you know, Charles Barkley has shown the, you know, tendency to follow the money a little bit. He had his little dalliance with LIV Golf during That's his true. Contract negotiation. He is not opposed to getting paid, you know, dump trucks full of money if it's presented to him. Of course, as a fan of the game, I hope this is not what happens. You know, I hope he gets paid however much he's worth, but I hope they're able to keep that studio together somehow in the event that Warner Brothers Discovery is boxed out of these NBA rights.
Yeah, I think you have to keep them all together. It's not the same with them separate, and Ernie's got to be a part of it. If that means you got to build a little studio in Atlanta, Amazon's got the money, you know? And to me, that's the only thing that makes sense. Just do it like CBS and Fox with the NFL. You know, you keep Summerall and Madden together. You keep Ernie, Kenny, Charles, and Shaq together.
So I think, you know, I've seen this mentioned a little bit, is the relationship that NBA has with Warner Brothers Discovery and TNT will kind of be the hardest hurdle in terms of shifting from TNT to NBC in the event that does happen. Turner is producing all of the NBA TV content. They're very involved in the digital stuff. A lot of the tech initiatives that the NBA has launched, Turner is involved in. So this all goes away if you move over to NBC. Do you see that being enough of a reason for the NBA to choose any hypothetical matched deal with Turner over, you know, the broadcast component that they could get with NBC? And obviously, as we talked about, the safety net being with a corporation like Comcast.
Well, yes and no. You got to keep in mind that what we're seeing right now with these league-owned networks is that they're losing inventory. MLB Network used to have 2 playoff games a year, exclusive playoff games. They don't anymore. NFL Network used to have every single Thursday night football game. Even if they had to simulcast it, they used to have all of them. They don't anymore. And NBA TV still airing playoff games. It's an anachronism. It doesn't make sense in 2024. So the league-owned network is declining in value. The NFL is trying to sell off NFL Network. They obviously are not that invested in it. Good Morning Football is this big hit. I mean, not that big of a hit if you've seen its ratings, but people seem to like it, and the NFL seems to not really be that invested in its success. So, you know, the league-owned network, to me, is a creature of 2006. It is not 2006 anymore. So I think if you're the NBA, if NBA TV takes a hit, if you got to put it back in Secaucus, you know, I wonder what that was like. And I remember those days in Secaucus, you'd have like Gus Johnson or Kurt Menefee sitting in this studio. It just seems like such a, not run down, obviously, but just, it reminds me of when OLN was airing hockey, you know? And it's like, this doesn't feel right. This doesn't feel like a real studio, you know? And I wonder what it was like for Gus and Kurt Menefee and these big professionals to get into their cars at the end of the night. It's midnight in Secaucus, and you're driving home, and you're just thinking about, man, what is this, right? And I wonder,
it's got to be pretty similar to how anyone at ESPN in Bristol feels.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's true. That's true. That's
you know, it's not all that different.
Yeah, but, you know, I just think if they have to go back to Secaucus and do it that way, whatever. But obviously that would not be good. That's not what you want. I mean, I wonder where those rights go, because it's also NBA.com, and you got to have that. It's also the NBA app. It's also NBA League Pass. So does Google, if they get NBA League Pass, do they start running NBA.com? They're not going to do that. Google's not in the business of content creation. Where do they go with that? Who picks that up? Does ESPN, if ESPN starts doing NFL Media and NFL Network, do they pick up the NBA's digital rights as well? They're in the same discussions with the NBA. I don't think NBC does. I don't think Comcast does. Although certainly if Comcast owns NBA TV, then you're in a good spot as far as cable negotiations, you would think. Or maybe a worse one now that I think about it. Obviously, you know, Charter might not want to play ball with the Comcast. Disney, Comcast, Amazon, and Google, I think, are going to be the partners, at least as it stands right now. And I don't really know that any of them are good for running NBA Digital.
I think it's pretty clear we're not going to see TNT go down without a fight here, right?
Yeah.
They acknowledge how important this is for the company. So do you see any possibility where this package is split up between an NBC and a Warner Brothers Discovery TNT?
Yes, there's so much money flowing into the NBA right now based on these reports that, yeah, you could probably make even more splitting it, right? If NBC is willing to pay $2.6 billion, you could probably still get $1.6 billion out of them with a smaller package of games that leaves room for TNT at maybe 1.2, 1.5, who knows, whatever, and then get $3 billion for the B package that you were going to get $2.6 billion for. I mean, yeah, Patrick Frakes, who, you know, obviously a lot of us are familiar with him, he's said on Twitter very confidently he believes NBC gets in and TNT stays, right? But, you know, there's only so much inventory to split. So if you're talking about a B package that is already, you know, less, you're talking about regular season and playoff games, the All-Star game and a conference final, maybe. Because Amazon's getting a conference final, apparently, or at least, you know, maybe a rotation. How's it going to work? You have two conference finals a year and four partners. Does ESPN, because you're getting the NBA finals every year, does that mean they don't get a conference final? Because I'm fine with that. The less ESPN, the better. But, I mean, is that what that means? So you say, okay, well, ESPN, they get the finals every year, so they're not in the conference finals. So instead, we'll do NBC. I've actually not heard them mention a conference final for NBC at this point, which is interesting. But Amazon gets a conference final and TNT. And I really don't know how they're going to split this up. I really don't. It's going to be difficult because, what, you're going to add more games? Going to be an 84-game season, an extra round of playoffs? Where do you get the inventory to split across four different partners? And not just four different partners, but they're linear and direct-to-subscriber platforms. Where do you find the inventory for that? The one thing that I could see them doing is, and people discussed this, a joint venture, a joint bid. NBC and TNT did a joint bid for NASCAR. People forget that. But if you ever go back and watch an NBC NASCAR race from 2001, it's TNT's graphics. There's somebody out there on Twitter doing a very long thread of NASCAR graphics packages. And only someone like me would be interested in this. And it was a nice reminder, because this is like from Sunday, that, yeah, the NBC graphics back in 2001 for NASCAR were TNT's. Because NBC and TNT, it was they were partners on that, like TNT is with CBS for the tournament. And that, to me, you know, maybe they run it back. Maybe they run that back, because at that point, you know, you're talking 2.5, 2.6 billion. The only difference is, why would Comcast have any interest in that?
Exactly. You know, I could see a scenario where Comcast maybe just wants like a Sunday night package, right? Where they can, I know we've discussed this before on the pod, you know, just run right from Sunday night football into a Sunday night basketball package, take out half of the regular season inventory that they would be getting in the current reporting of this package, and give that over to TNT, whatever weeknight game. But yeah, when it comes to the playoff inventory, which is obviously what all these partners would like, I'm not sure how you can split that and make it work for both companies.
Yeah, I mean, NBC, Peacock, and TNT instead of USA, that could work. But again, that playoff inventory, I mean, who's the leader in that? The leader is Comcast. Comcast is, you know, taking the lead. TNT gets the scraps. TNT would be third priority behind Peacock. Is that worth it for the money? I mean, will that even help in terms of distributors and all these contracts that TNT has? One doubleheader a week, you know, I mean, I don't know. I mean, you're going to need an extra round of playoffs. I mean, they have that play-in tournament. Maybe the play-in tournament goes best of three, best of seven. Who knows? I don't know. But it's going to be very interesting to see how this plays out. One thing for sure, we can be reasonably confident, it'll be Disney and Amazon. And then it's just Comcast and or WBD for the rest of it. But there's still a lot of other questions to be answered, like what happened to the local rights? Where do things go there? How much of this includes international rights? The NBA's domestic and international rights are all up. So how much of these billions of dollars include those?
Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise, and with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
Before we move off this topic, this is a great point, because Warner Brothers Discovery is actually very well positioned internationally when it comes to international rights. TNT Sports is a big brand overseas. So that's another little advantage that I don't know has been talked about enough if the NBA wants to continue their relationship with WBD in that way. But John, I think it's time to move on to the playoffs, the NBA playoffs, which are, you know, finishing up the first round as we speak. Let's be blunt about it. It looks like a lot of the traditional stars, as we expected, will not be making it into the conference semifinals. So how do you think we're shaping up with all these young teams, upstart teams, making it into the second round of the playoffs and leaving stars like LeBron, KD, Zion behind?
Well, when it comes down to it, that one game winner by San Antonio that Laker fans were celebrating because it meant Denver would not be the one seed, it ended up ruining the Lakers' season, because Denver, if they had finished the one seed, Lakers play OKC. Now, OKC, based on what we just saw against New Orleans, probably, you would think, is a tougher opponent than people thought. I still think the Lakers could probably have taken him because, I mean, look, the Lakers played the Denver Nuggets as well as any team really could in losing in five games. I mean, it was ridiculous how much the Lakers led in that series. I think they probably take out OKC, or at least it's six or seven games. But it is what it is. You can't get lucky every year. And the Lakers exit leaves you in a pretty rough spot on the Western Conference. It's like the Western Conference of the NHL playoffs. Denver, Minnesota, OKC, and then either Dallas or the Clippers. You're not going to get great ratings for that. The games are going to have to be really good. I do think people are starting to get interested in Anthony Edwards. I think Anthony Edwards has a lot of high potential to become the star of the playoffs and a big name on the NBA marquee. If they take out Denver, then that'll definitely be the case. But, you know, I mean, the kind of numbers that we're going to see for the NBA playoffs, it's not going to be like the bubble or anything. It's not even going to be, I don't think, like 2021. It'll basically be the numbers that you always see for the playoffs for games that LeBron and Steph are not playing in. So, I mean, that's kind of the key. The difference that LeBron and Steph make is they take the NBA from that 4 or 5 million range in the second round to maybe 6, maybe 7 million in a good series. So do I think Denver, Minnesota is going to be, oh my goodness, oh my goodness, what a terrible draw? No, I think it'll be probably the same kind of draw that Denver Phoenix was last year. It's just that the NBA is not going to have that big pop that they had for certainly Warriors Lakers a year ago.
Let's go over some of those numbers now, John. On your website posted Tuesday, you have the numbers through the Sunday weekend games across ABC, ESPN, TNT, True TV, and NBA TV. These games are averaging 3.17 million. That is down 6% in viewership from last year, although it's about flat from 2 years ago in 2022 when those games were averaging 3.15 million across the same time span. So nothing too much to see here. Obviously, last season we had some pretty good first round matchups, like that Kings Warriors series really helped boost that number. But so far I don't think I see anything overly concerning in the numbers, do you?
Not yet, but obviously that 6% decline is going to get steeper. For one thing, the absence of Steph entirely, LeBron getting knocked out in five, even Durant getting swept, that's a terrible outcome for the league. But more than that, the series have not been close. You can withstand the absence of anybody if you get great series. People want to watch good basketball. The reason they watch LeBron and Steph and Kevin Durant is because they've proven that they play good basketball that's entertaining. So if you get good games that are entertaining, people will watch those. It's kind of like when Florida Atlantic played SDSU in the semifinals in the NCAA tournament, the Final Four. The game was good and the viewership wasn't that bad. It wasn't great, but that particular game held up reasonably well. People will tune in for good games. There have not been good series so far. There are two series that are going at least six games. One of them is, Cleveland Orlando. Terrible, terrible series. And the other is a very entertaining Dallas Clippers series that could, maybe be the anchor of the second week of the playoffs here. But, you didn't want to be without Steph at all. And you didn't want to be without LeBron and KD after, 9 days of the playoffs, 8 days. It's a bad outcome. But, you do have the Knicks. You have the Celtics still. You have Dallas, which, has superstar Luka. The Clippers are never a particularly great draw, but it's LA and they have Harden. You're not going to be looking at a great postseason here. The viewership is going to be down, and that's been pretty obvious. Last year set a high bar, and it's just not the teams that you want to see. But I think you're going to see it go down double digits for the first round because Game 7 last year, Warriors-Kings, was 10 million, and you might not even get a Game 7 this time around, much less one involving the Warriors. Second round, also down double digits, I think, because you had Lakers-Warriors for six games. But once you get to the conference finals, it'll be tough because last year's East Finals went 7 and had a really big finish. But if you get Celtics-Knicks and that goes 7, and you get a competitive West, that's still going to be tough because that finish last year to Celtics Heat was really strong. Best bet for the NBA, competitive finals that go seven. That's what you need more than anything.
Yeah. And of course, you know, we just spent half an hour talking about the NBA rights deals. None of this really has all that material and impact on, you know, the money that the NBA is going to be getting from its broadcast partners in the future. But for people that care about viewership like us, it's always interesting. You know, we haven't even mentioned that, you know, Giannis probably is not going to be in the second round. You know, Joel Embiid, you know, Jimmy Butler. There's like a lot of the A-list stars in the league that are just not going to be in the second round of the playoffs.
Yeah.
But I think if I'm the NBA, maybe this is the year to have a bit of a dog playoffs in viewership, considering where they are with their rights negotiations.
Exactly. And, you know, this is a year when, you know, the Clay Travis argument is not going to really work if the NBA is signing $2.5 billion rights fees. I think most people, you know, look, it's not going to be a great year from a ratings perspective. It's just not. But I think the NBA obviously doesn't really have much to be concerned about. Let's go back to the rights talks a little bit, because, you know, bringing in the ratings is kind of a good opportunity to address this whole issue as to how much the ratings matter. People read a lot into the ratings. I think I probably play a big role in that. You know, for a long time, it's kind of been difficult for me to imagine that I've had the significant influence, but obviously I think I probably have. You know, I'm just a guy who just was writing on Wikipedia, right? You know, and kind of just started writing about sports ratings and didn't really stop. And I think because my site was free, because it was a blog and not a newspaper, because I was writing every day, and because, you know, when you're, you know, 17 or 18 or whatever, you have a lot of energy to write a lot. Because of that, I think I kind of brought sports TV ratings into a bigger place than they had been when Rudy Martsky or Michael Heastend or, you know, the late Prentice Rogers at the AJC were doing it. So, you know, I guess I bear some responsibility here for people living and dying with every year-over-year increase or decline. And a lot of that, too, was that I was maybe portraying those increases and declines as being more significant than they actually were. The fact is, after, you know, 17 years in, I think over time you realize, oh, wait, a record low rating really doesn't matter. People keep, you know, paying money for these things. Ratings are cyclical. Oh, wow, your ratings have declined for 10 straight years. Well, then eventually that stops and they start going up, or they stabilize, or either way, look at NASCAR, which again had ratings decline for 10, 11, 12 straight years. Every single year, every race is down, and they're still getting media rights money because the ratings ultimately, I won't say that they don't matter, but your business cannot be determined by people tuning in and out. If your business is entirely determined on whether or not people are tuning in or tuning out, then you're in deep trouble. Your business has to also be determined on all of these other factors. Most notably, are people tuning in and tuning out at a faster rate than other programming? And so for the NBA, the ratings obviously are not what they were, but obviously they're a heck of a lot better than anything else on TV. And beyond that, these distributor contracts, right? Having to go to distributors and say, hey, we have this programming. We have this programming every year. It gets these types of numbers. You know, that is significantly important. Having inventory to build up your properties, whether it's a cable network or certainly a streamer. These are the reasons why people spend money. They don't pay $2.5 billion for a 3.0 rating. And so, you know, the Clay Travis argument has always been go woke, get broke. The smarter argument, if I was wanting to make one, is go woke, be less popular. It doesn't quite ring. But popularity has nothing to do with the money you're making in this industry. It is the value that you have for the companies that are bidding on your product. And you can lose popularity and gain importance. And that is something that we have seen happen time and time again. And nobody yet has had any trouble in the marketplace. Frankly, you look at a sport like baseball, they probably could be making a lot more money. When I first saw that $2.5 billion yesterday, all I could think about was the episode of Seinfeld when George is trying to lie to unemployment. He says he works for Vandalay Industries. He's in Jerry's bathroom and Kramer answers the phone and George is waiting for a call from the unemployment office. And Kramer doesn't know the whole bit. He doesn't know the Vandalay Industries bit. So he's like, what Vandalay Industries? What are you talking about? And George comes running out of the bathroom with his pants around his ankles to say, Vandalay Industries, Vandalay Industries. And that's the end of the episode. You don't seem impressed, but it was really funny. You should watch it. But the point is, all I could think about was Rob Manfred as George running out going, wait, $2.5 billion? We need to go to market now, right? We have to go to market now. We have to. How are we only making $1.5 billion for our rights? If you're baseball, if you're hockey, the bar has now been raised because $2.5 billion for one reduced package of NBA games, plus $2.6 billion for another reduced package, plus $1 billion for a third package. Holy smokes. I mean, like, if you're making less than $2 billion a year now, you are being underserved.
Maybe. And I honestly do think a lot of the value in these rights deals, John, is the existential nature for Turner. I really do. Because right now, I mean, obviously, Comcast is a new bidder. You know, they're going to have to go over the top and give, you know, the NBA much more than they think WBD can provide. But also, I don't think baseball and hockey have the same pool as the NBA. I don't think they are existential packages for Turner to have. Without the NBA, as we discussed, the TNT will die. You know, it might not be immediate, but it's not looking good if they don't have the NBA, that's for sure. So I think they will pay whatever it takes, maybe not even within reason, because that's how desperate they are. And
you make an excellent point. Baseball and hockey don't have that pull. Baseball doesn't want that pull because they prioritize local rights. But baseball and hockey could never be as integral as the NBA because the NBA obviously has the inventory, the demos, and prioritizes national TV. And just, I mean, even just having a longer postseason than baseball. But, you know, they could, so they would never get to $5 billion a year, but they could get to two, well, not hockey, but baseball could get to $2 billion a year. I mean, to me, baseball probably should be at $2 billion a year. It's not close to the NBA as a national draw. Baseball looks a lot closer to the NBA as a national draw than it is. But $2 billion a year, I think, the next deal would have to be at that level. Baseball's going to eventually have to play ball with national TV and start setting aside some valuable exclusive programming, because I still don't understand. They gave Apple and Peacock exclusives, but they didn't give those to ESPN? I still don't get that.
Yeah, and who knows what baseball and hockey rights will even look like when they go back to market.
Yeah.
Well, several years from now.
That's a big question. Is the NBA resetting the bar at a high level, or is the NBA taking all the money out of the market for the next decade until the NFL rights come up? That's significant for baseball and hockey. I will also add, hockey is a great secondary property. Hockey is excellent as your number two this time of year. To have hockey on nights when the NBA is not playing is a great benefit for ESPN and Turner. And I think these hockey deals have been excellent for everybody involved. Hockey's not a great first property. You don't want this time of year where hockey is your primary thing. And so I do wonder if the NBA deals go down as they're going down right now, what does Warner Brothers Discovery do? Does that make hockey a bigger priority to them, or do they kind of fall back? They've made a lot of investment with sports. You mentioned the international rights. They are heavily involved in sports in America and beyond, right? And of course, their international rights, that all comes from the Discovery portion. I don't know if hockey will be the big fish there, right? Because, I mean, you don't want hockey to be your big fish. Hockey cannot be, I'll put it this way. Austin Reeves is a great secondary or third, fourth player. If Austin Reeves is your best player, you're in trouble. So I don't know about how hockey's going to do as Turner's main thing. And I'd be very intrigued. Will Turner get all of it, maybe? Because ESPN's going to be so, you know, they've spent so much money on the NBA and all these other rights. Hockey and baseball are coming up in like 3 years. That's coming up quickly. So if you're Turner, do you make the decision to go fully into hockey if you don't have the NBA? Do you kind of pull back and maybe spend money less? I mean, I don't know what you do.
Well, there's just so few opportunities now in the marketplace. That's why, I mean, that's another reason why this is so important for Turner to retain these NBA rights, because there's just nothing else out there, right? Yeah. College football playoff, that's done. That's over. Mm-hmm. MLB, NHL, they're good properties to have. They're nice to have, but they're not anchor mm-hmm. properties like the NBA is. So unless you have something that is going to draw viewers in like the NBA, like the NFL, like college football, I would say March Madness would probably be their biggest property, right?
And that's not even, that's half with CBS. Mm-hmm. You don't even have any turn. You have one to maybe four exclusive Turner windows in a given tournament. One in years when CBS is the Final Four, that Sunday night window. And then four when TBS does have the Final Four, because you have the national semifinals and final. That's it. Oh, I forgot about the Elite Eight. So I guess it's 3 to 6 because they do have those two Elite Eight windows. That's nothing. The tournament is more popular than the NBA playoffs, but it's like 4, 5, 6, 7 days total of programming. You cannot anchor a platform with that. There's so many more questions about this rights negotiation and what it means for the industry going forward. The question of whether or not this is resetting the bar or a last gasp is very interesting to me. I would never have thought the NBA could get to $6 billion a year, which is what it would look like, in my view, $2.5 billion for the top two, and then an extra billion or so for Amazon, not even including Google with NBA League Pass. I mean, the NBA's never sold those rights, right? I mean, Turner is running it, but I don't know how much money exchanged hands between those parties for those rights. It's a tremendous financial windfall. The league is heading into a really interesting space.
I'll just give my final thoughts here. I think what this is showing in terms of sports rights at large is it's very nice to be an anchor property like the NFL or the NBA. But honestly, now that I'm thinking about it a little bit more, I'm scared if I'm the NHL or the MLB going to market 3 years from now, I don't know if there's going to be as much of an appetite or a huge rights deal after the NBA gets their deals done. But it is very nice to be the NBA or the NFL right now. And it's probably a little frightening if you're any other professional sports league.
Well, let me ask you then, do you think baseball will not be able to get $2 billion in the next?
They could probably get a marginal increase. Like, I'm not saying that that's impossible, but is a marginal increase enough to compensate for player salaries going up? All the other costs that are involved with operating a franchise. I don't think we're going to see the same growth in Major League Baseball or the NHL as we will with the NBA and the NFL, because they are not these must have properties, right? They are supplementary. So if I'm one of those leagues, I don't know if I'm excited about the NBA taking all this money out of the market. I'm really not.
Who would you rather be, baseball or hockey? Because hockey has a brighter future than baseball, in my view.
It's interesting because I think hockey, in the postseason, they have the more exciting postseason. It goes longer than baseball. And I think there's a lot of potential there. But I think if baseball makes changes to their postseason, they could overtake hockey as the better property. I really, if baseball, which is the most stuck in their ways league we have in North America, is able to come to their senses and expand their playoffs to be as long as the NBA or the NHL, which take months, they could be right there. But I just don't know if the traditionalists that run that sport are open enough to changing the structure, their postseason structure, that much. But I think, you know, at the end of the day, it comes down to postseason inventory for those sports. And the NHL definitely has the advantage there right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Four rounds of playoffs, best of seven, you know, shorter windows, 2.5 hours. Remember, hockey used to be 3 hour windows, 2.5 hours now, really. More stars. You know, Connor Bedard's going to be a bigger star than Shohei Ohtani as far as national TV. Do you think that's crazy? Because I think that's true. Because Ohtani doesn't play playoff games.
Well, he will now.
That's true. Yeah, he's off the Angels. He's off that Titanic.
Yeah, I think Ohtani will be a much bigger star than Bedard, and that's just because of his international appeal. Yeah.
Okay. Because the way I look at it is Ohtani's been around for a while, never been in the playoffs. He's 30 years old. Is he 29, 30?
Yeah. I think so.
That's not good.
Well, I mean, baseball, there's a different. You're a little bit older in your prime than you are in hockey, right? But hockey careers are very long. You're right.
I mean, if you're asking me who would I rather build my league around in terms of television, domestic television viewership, not international popularity, because obviously Ohtani is probably up there with LeBron James, but in terms of domestic television viewership, would you rather build around a 30-year-old Shohei Ohtani who's never played a playoff game than this 20-year-old kid? Is he even 20? Is he 19?
He's 18.
Is he really 18 years old?
Yes. Yeah.
Wow. Born in
2005.
Wow. What a joke.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. But I'd rather build around this 18-year-old kid in Chicago playing for the Blackhawks, a team that means something to people, or this guy Ohtani, who already now, his elbow is jacked up. He's already got elbow problems. He's 30. He's already had a weird controversy with the gambling, and he has never won a playoff game. And he's never played in one. And he plays in a sport where you don't just make the playoffs. You have to kind of earn your way in. It's harder. And he also plays for a team that one of the biggest underachieving franchises in all of sports over this run with that great pitcher. What's his name now? Is there a great pitcher over there?
Clayton Kershaw.
Yeah, thank you. In this run with Kershaw, they have won one World Series in a 60-game season. Now, it's legitimate. I'm not saying it's not legitimate, but they only won the one World Series in a 60-game season. I don't know. I would prefer to be in the NHL situation with Bedard.
Yeah. I mean, just off age alone, you're probably right. But we're talking about two unicorns here. And I think if we're comparing superstars within their own league, you know, Connor Bedard, there's been plenty of hockey superstars in the past generation, Sidney Crosby, Alex Ovechkin, of course. I'm not sure baseball has seen a talent like Ohtani since, you know, Babe Ruth. So it's tough to compare, but you make a good point. The longevity of Bedard's career probably makes it more appealing for the NHL than the MLB right now.
Yeah. All of that said, I still think baseball could get $2 billion. I do think baseball is underpaid because it prioritizes RSN rights, and also because it does not have enough playoff inventory. They need to probably add more rounds of playoffs. Nobody wants that, but they probably need more playoffs and you know, more exclusivity. If you want to get that NBA money, you're never going to get that NBA money. But if there's enough money out there for the NBA to get $5 billion a year from two packages and $6 or $7 billion overall, there's more than enough money for baseball to be making more than what, $1.6 billion a year.
Yeah.
So to me, that's where I'm coming at it from. There's clearly money still out there, and you don't have to be the NBA to get it, but you have to be quick because it's not going to be there that long, I don't think.
Well, I think that's an interesting place to leave this conversation, and I'm sure we'll have many more conversations in the coming months and years as you know, those baseball and hockey rights approach, but. For now, all eyes are on what happens with these NBA deals. John, why don't you close this out?
Yeah, it's going to be very intriguing. The intrigue in the NBA on the media side is going to be a lot more on those media rights and these ratings as we move forward in what has been a pretty subpar NBA playoffs so far. Really needed the Lakers to get game two or game five at Denver, and certainly needed better performances from Phoenix, you know, from even Philadelphia down 3-1, a lot of disappointing results this year. But you know what? None of it matters. Adam Silver will be drying his tears with $2.5 billion worth of Kleenex. So we will be back next week with more sports media talk. Have a great week.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.